Mike.
What, AJ?
Disney's going to take all my money.
Why? You don't have to buy every Disney Infinity thing.
Yes, I do.
What? Well, because
they have these stupid random things, like you don't know what you're getting and there's two inside.
Well, that's just for, like, the discs, isn't it? Or is that
the
figures?
But one of them is, like, Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blaster's vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, like, there's not even that many of those yet, so you'll probably get some soon, maybe.
There's 20, and there's two in a pack.
Maybe the game just won't be any fun, and then you won't care. Happy ending. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 31st, 2013. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by AJ.
Hello.
There's a lot to talk about this week, actually.
Yeah, it was eventful, for once.
Yeah, so we got some bad Nintendo Wii U sale numbers.
Bad.
Do we have those, like, up?
We could do that.
You get that up while I go down the rest of the rundown. Because then we had the BioShock Infinite DLC was announced. We had the whole Phil Fish thing, which I feel like some people might already be sick of. But let's talk about
it. But we didn't get to talk about it
yet.
And I have things to say.
You have things to say about the fish.
Yeah, and it's going to be another indie rant.
You're not a huge... You kind of turned off by the indies a little bit, aren't you?
When they act like this.
And their ways and their drama king. I mean, I guess that's what they're there for, right? In a way.
They're supposed to just make games.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I don't want these people to be, like, public
personalities. Well, do we just want to go into this since we're talking about it?
Well, here's my big question with Phil Fish. Is that he's a public persona, right? But he seems that seems to be the part of the job he hates.
Yeah.
Can't he just not do that part?
Well, he's the one who put himself out there.
He's the one who's in Indie Game
the movie.
I'm sure they didn't, like, follow him around. I never saw Indie Game the movie. I'm sure they didn't, like,
Yeah, I have it. We should watch it.
Actually,
no, it's funny.
I almost don't want to watch Indie Game
the movie. Because I have it on Steam, and it has Steam trading cards. I want to get the Phil Fish card now.
I almost don't want to watch Indie Game the movie, because I'm worried it's going to be so... smarmy and, like, just disgusting. But I don't know. I'm sure it's interesting.
Yeah, but...
Well, the Team Meat guys are in it. We like them. They're on the show.
So, I guess we should recap what happened with this.
Briefly, sure.
Basically, as we were recording last week and all the Xbox One indie news was still rumor, Game Informer is trying to get a
game
statement.
Game Trailers. No, Game Informer.
Trying to get a statement from, like, Phil Fish and Jonathan Blow, and they're like... kind of being like, no, we don't want to talk about it, or it's just rumor, let's wait for more info. Not entirely unreasonable. Hmm. And so Marcus Beer,
aka Annoyed Gamer,
on Game Trailers,
on Invisible Walls,
basically got fed up with them. It was like, look, quit being assholes.
He went
a little far.
Nah, his language was pretty mean. He was calling them, like,
fucks and
tosspots and hipsters. And
I guess tosspots is really bad.
I assume it's a bad word. It sounds... I mean, I don't know what they're tossing in that pot. I assume it's not,
you don't want to,
like,
be in that
flour.
Pot. So yeah, he went a little out of line calling him out, but the thesis of what he was saying, I see his point.
Not kind of, well, not entirely. I would say it wasn't that big a deal if they didn't want to comment on something, especially, you know, he said later he was waiting for clarification.
Well, and I don't know how true this is, but he seemed to be insinuating that they never comment. Like, they're more than happy to, like, go off in their own rants, but whenever someone wants them to say something, they won't play along.
I mean, maybe he's frustrated, that's fine, but still, don't call people names because of it.
So... apparently, this was the last straw.
Because Phil Fish went crazy after this.
Told him he should kill himself, which apparently was a Futurama
quote.
Can
I say this whole Futurama reference thing is so stupid? If anybody tells me that one more time, like, go kill yourself is not a quote from anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that. I can't be like, you know, I can't go to, like, a court and say, like, oh, no, see, when I told him that I was going to murder him and shoot up my school, it wasn't a real threat. I was referencing Bowling for Columbine. It was a quote. You just don't get my reference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no. Okay, the context is more important than the reference here. Just don't tell people to kill themselves. I mean, this is from the guy who told people to go suck their dicks or whatever because he told Japan he hates their games or whatever reason. But go ahead.
So, yeah, he threw a little hissy fit, and I'm sure some more people said mean things to him.
Well,
so he canceled Fez 2 and seemingly quit the gaming industry.
Well, he always has this problem where, like, he will always retweet, like, the meanest things people say to him, as if he's making a point, like, look what they're doing. I'm like, just fucking ignore them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is just me, but I always assume that the people who are like, oh, yeah, go choke a dick and blah, 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 I assume those are 12-year-olds. Like,
right.
Like, aren't they? Is that not what everyone else assumes?
Yeah, so some 12-year-olds anonymously on the internet yelling at you are going to make you quit your career?
I mean, I get that Phil Fish is a sensitive guy. And I feel sorry for him in a way, because it seems like he's ill-equipped to handle a lot of this stuff mentally.
But I also think he's an attention whore.
He is an attention whore. He does... I mean, you gotta be a point where you gotta toughen it up a little bit. I mean, Phil Fish goes on and on as if getting into game industry is the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody, blah, blah. So sad. I mean, cry me a river. You made a great game. A lot of people have said really nice things about you and your game.
Yeah.
Now, here's why can't you focus on that positive a little bit?
Here's something I found confusing. Didn't he, like, bitch and moan about how Microsoft didn't do enough to promote Fez and blah, blah? But then he was talking about how successful he is.
Right. He's the kind of person who will pull that card. Where to attack his trolls would be like, yeah, well, I'm successful. Look at the award.
But I thought he was complaining because he wasn't successful as successful as he could have been. I don't know.
I don't know why he's complaining. It's like the stereotypical artist thing, like, oh, I'm wallowing in my pity, and it's so annoying. And like,
well, you know, what's the worst thing that happened? Did you see Cliffy B's letter to Phil Fish?
A lot of the people defending Phil Fish need to.
No, but did you see the letter?
Yeah,
I was like, no, this is what he wants.
No, this is exactly what he wants. He wants people to be like, Phil, it's not your fault.
No, Phil, you're really cool.
You know, if Phil Fish can't handle the heat, then he can get out of the kitchen, and it's fine. Another thing, and I hate to be mean, but I mean, this guy made one game, right?
Right.
I like Fez a lot. I like Fez good. But he's not like some icon of the industry.
Yeah.
He's more known for having his childish outbursts and stuff. And, you know, whether he's, you know, it's rough to be on the internet because people are mean to you. It's still, he literally took his ball and went home, and he's being a drama whore. I mean, his announcement on Polytron where he's like, I take the money and leave, I can't take it, and it's like written like a 2-year-old. Like, he couldn't really sit there and capitalize eyes. He's doing it for dramatic effect, and I'm sick of it.
Well, do you buy into the conspiracy theory that he's just going underground to finish Fez 2 in peace?
He should, really. I don't see why not. If his big problem is that he doesn't like the attention, then just get off and, yeah, pretend you quit and make Fez 2. Who cares then? But just so much of it, I'm sick of his whining. I'm sick of people like being like, oh, but see, there's all this vile in the gaming community, and that's what the problem is. You know, there's vile everywhere. As if gamers are the only people who are like mean to famous people on Twitter. Every famous person says, you know, they do funny. I think it's Conan or somebody does a thing like, oh, celebrities bringing their mean tweets. You know,
oh, yeah.
Tell them to lie. You know, have fun with it. Get over it. Look, I mean, I don't have it to the degree that Phil Fish does, but when I do reviews, I mean, and, you know, like when I gave Sonic Episode 2 a 45 or whatever, God, that community. You just laugh. I mean, I'm like, yeah, Sonic fans, sweet. Sorry to upset you.
Well, Let me segue this to a little side thing I wanted to talk about, too. So, like, literally after we finished recording last week, because when Microsoft came out and it was, like, confirmed, like, yeah, indie development is open and wild on the Xbox One. You can convert your retail Xbox One to a dev kit. You don't need a publisher. Hurrah, hurrah. There are still people who are like, well, I don't trust them. I'm like, well, why don't you trust them, internet? And their response is, well, look at the Xbox Live Indie Games channel. They just left that thing there and didn't do anything to promote it. My response is, why do they have to promote indie games?
Well, it would be smart for their own good because they can make money off it.
But, like, okay, so, like, you know, Phil Fish and the Team Meat guys, they all complain, like, oh, Microsoft didn't do enough to advertise our game.
That always has been a weird complaint. Team Meat sort of justified themselves on this show a little bit, because they thought they were promised certain things. I guess that's what it is.
I feel like the whole indie community in general, when it comes to this
you love how much I name drop, like, yeah, Team Meat, who was on this show once. Yeah, did you know that Team Meat was on our show one time? It happened after I said something mean about them on Twitter.
That is
true.
See,
that's a much better way. Instead of, what if I made Team Meat quit? Oh, that's it. This journalist said something mean. You don't know what it's like. Instead of like, oh, we'll go on the show, talk to you, we'll have a civil conversation. Nope. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, like, okay. You know why I don't think anyone gave a shit about the Xbox Live Indie Games channel? Did you ever hear about a single good game that came out of that?
Wasn't there that zombie one?
I mean, and everyone bought that one.
That was the one, right?
The one good one is the one I bought. There were some okay ones when that thing was new, and I actually bought another one. It was like a Contra sort of game. Mm-hmm. It was filled with a bunch of multiplayer make the other person's controller vibrate so they can get off games.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm not going to take that seriously. You know, everyone's like, oh, it was uncurated. You know what else is uncurated? The App Store. You know what's one of the number one gaming franchises in the world right now? Angry Birds. Did Apple promote it? No, they made a game and it hit. Like, that's like being mad at Best Buy because I manufactured a really cool widget and sold it in stores, and then it fails. I'm like, well, Best Buy didn't do enough to sell it. No, your widget was shitty. That's all.
See, so,
like, it's like our podcast. Let's do this. Okay. We've never been featured in the iTunes promotional thing. What,
is that fine. Normal? I'm sorry. Yeah. I just thought the bottom was supposed to move to
it. No, it's fine.
Can like, you edit that later?
I'm whatever. we've never been featured as, like, a new upcoming podcast.
We like, just send them, like, a press release when we hit our 300th episode.
Yeah. Like, but, like, I'm not like, oh, well, Apple didn't do enough for us. No, like, if people want to listen to this podcast, listen to it. If not, like, I'm not going to complain that we're not, like, making a career out of doing this podcast. We do it because we like doing it.
You don't like indie people a whole lot right now.
I do like the guy who made Gunpoint. I fucking love that guy. Because he's like, yeah, I worked this in my free time. It hit. I found some success. I'm pretty happy. I'm like, hey, good on you. You get it.
I mean, but it's kind of, you know, I don't want to. It's nice to have these people sometimes, because sometimes they do, they say things like, oh, games are shit right now, and I'm here to save them, and it's, you know, it's kind of
it's pompous, hyperbolic, yeah.
But it's nice to have that, because right. It helps the industry overall.
But, like, okay, so, like, the PS4 made their big indie push. Like, let's say, for the sake of argument, that Xbox One remained closed. Do you really think in the grand scheme of things that matters? Like, Joe Consumer
maybe a little bit.
Is going to be buying a console at Christmas. They're like, well, this one has indie games and this one has Halo.
I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't sell systems, but I think that Sony would have a big revenue uptake from it.
That's possible. True.
I don't. Like, yeah, but I mean, it would make a difference. Maybe not like what you mean, no. Speaking of system sales.
Hey, one. Oh, no.
Wow. Okay, so
I have the numbers.
Nintendo released some reports.
which I love their spin.
Guys, the 3DS sure is doing great.
Well, there's that. Okay, so they sold 160,000 units of Wii U between April 1st and June 30th globally.
That's
minuscule.
What everyone is saying, that is below even the most pessimistic projections.
Right.
That is not good.
But what I love is in their little press release snippet, the worldwide sales of Wii U hardware and software were 0.16 million units and
1.03 million. I got
0.16. I think at that point you'll get to use the millions.
Yeah, you don't get to throw a million number in there where you're not quite like at a tenth of what that is. Like, yeah, we sold a hundredth of a billion Wii U's.
Yeah, you say it like that, it sounds bigger, right?
Yeah.
That. So, I mean, Pikmin 3 is coming out.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's terrible, but at the same time, it's like, when you think about it, like, well, of course they haven't sold any Wii U's. Like, seriously, since launch, which the two Nintendo games were, what, Mario and Nintendo Land. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was November. December, nothing. January, nothing. February, nothing. March, nothing. April, nothing. May, nothing. June, Game and Wario. Like, literally, that's the only thing they released since then. And
nothing
July.
In July.
Nothing
July.
Literally, nothing.
Yeah.
For 7 months after the system launched.
And the funny thing is, like, didn't they go on and on before the launch
about
of the
Wii U? How awesome the window was going to be?
No, not even that. About how we learn lessons from the 3DS launch and software drive sales, and we're going to be there with all our franchises. No. That was just a lie.
And even still, you know, and I keep saying, well, holiday, hopefully they can turn things around because of all things. What is holiday right now for them?
Mario Kart and Mario World 3 bullshit.
And Zelda. Okay, so those.
And an HD remake of Zelda.
Right. But, I mean, I'll tell you this right now. They cannot ever launch a system again unless they have three of the four ready in the first 6 months. Mario, which they did. That was the one they had. Mario, a Zelda, a Smash Brothers, and a Mario Kart. Those are the four.
I don't even know. 6 months is good enough. I mean, let's go back to May. In May, were you like, oh, the Wii U's still going to turn it around any day now?
I mean, you have to have some of that stuff ready. It's just like, what did they expect?
Literally, the only things worthwhile to come out in the Wii U since launch, I'll argue Monster Hunter, but even that's pretty niche.
Yeah, Monster is pretty
Lego Undercity, maybe.
Yeah, some people say it might be fun.
And that's it.
There was something else I feel like that I can't remember. I mean, some of his stuff was, you know, not like, you know, they thought they were going to have Rayman, they didn't. That sucked. But I mean, yeah, just a terrible launch window.
The thing is, like, Nintendo's going to get by because the 3DS is doing so well. And what I'm sick of, too, is this argument, well, the 3DS turned it around, the Wii U will, too. No. No, here's why.
I still so you're writing the Wii U off.
I'm not writing it off. I think it'll
you think it's gonna
okay, but it's never going to get to like...
Here's the worst case scenario. The Wii U is going to drag around for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then the next one comes out. If it never picks up.
Right.
I mean, because that has to kind of be there for a little bit, because they have games probably for the next few years in development for it.
But everyone's like, oh no, it's going to turn around just like the 3DS. The 3DS's competition was the PSP/Vita. Okay.
Well, and as everyone loves to remind me so much, mobile gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are all like, oh, the 3DS is failing because mobile gaming, it'll never get better. That's what you all said. Go ahead.
Anyway, the Wii U is up against the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, which costs $50 more.
That's the problem is, at holiday, when supposedly they could turn some of the stuff around with software, all of a sudden you have these new systems, which, by the way, their launch lineup's looking pretty nice.
Yeah.
Look, those systems at launch might be ready to compete with the Wii U software library.
And I still maintain, too, that the biggest problem with the Wii U is all the good games in the Wii U I've already played on my 3DS. We're getting a sequel to the 3DS Mario game. We're getting another Mario Kart. We're getting another Donkey Kong. I've played all these games already.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I played them on my 3DS, and they were great, but I'm good. I don't need to play them right away again. Like, I just don't get it.
It's like some of the stuff that I think looks cool, like Wonderful 101. Is that going to help?
I don't know. And again, none of these games are using the gamepad.
Yeah,
none
of them. It's weird.
None
I'll tell you what. The gamepad thing...
It may not have failed.
It may not have been a good idea. I see the point of it sometimes, and I like it sometimes.
The best thing about it is off-screen play, maybe.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, the whole second screen experience in general, I'm not huge on. Like, the best I've seen it has been in Rayman Legends, and that's been fun. But I still haven't tested that, play for 2 hours?
Why did Ubisoft make the only game that even
honestly,
uses this thing well?
Because even Mario, it's like, it was kind of neat, but you get
no,
over it.
No, it was so basic. Make some basic platforms appear. No one wanted to do that.
That's the other thing, too. Like, the one game they had was the 2D Mario game, which is easy to be cynical about.
Well, another one just came out 3 months before.
And we have New Luigi Brothers. Which, I don't know.
The brothers is crashed out, I think.
Yes. It's just new Luigi U. New Super Luigi U. So do you think... I mean, like I said, I mean, it's like, it's terrible, but, I mean, of course no one's going... Who would have bought a Wii U the last 3 months?
Yeah, no reason to do so.
You would have to be kind of dumb to you. I mean, because... You think there'll be a price drop? I don't know, because they're selling it for a loss, still.
They need to. They're going to have the PS4... virtually the same price.
And that's the thing, too, is, like, there's nothing they can really do right now to turn around except for a release. I mean, they have games in development. You have to release them. And you don't want to rush them necessarily, but, you know, maybe double time or something. Like, you better get that Smash Brothers out there pretty quick.
Well, and Namco's helping them already.
And I also wonder, do you think they're shooting themselves in the foot with the fact that a Smash Bros. Game will be on the 3DS, like, presumably the same day?
Again, maybe. Maybe it's like, well, I don't need to buy a Wii. I'll just get this on my 3DS.
Right. Which, I mean, at the same time, maybe they had to, because they'll probably make a lot more money off that 3DS Smash Brothers.
Let's play Crazy Town. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, oh, Nintendo should get out of the hardware business.
No, I hate that crap.
But what would it be like if they said, you know what, home console's done, we're just the 3DS now?
It'd be fine. I wouldn't be terrible anymore, especially...
I wouldn't mind that,
where
honestly.
Where the 3DS is right now, imagine what the next one will be like in 7 years or whatever, where it'll... And that's the thing, too, is, like, the Nintendo games that they typically make don't need a whole lot more graphical fidelity.
Exactly. That's why I feel like if they just made 3DS and 3DS games, but then...
It wouldn't be the animal, but I don't think they should or will.
I don't think they will, because they're stubborn like that, but I think if that happened, I'd be okay.
There's just some things that they could have done. Like, there's still... This whole idea of... The slow rolling out of the virtual console, when they could... They have the
opportunity... Just put them out there! Make some money!
They have the opportunity to make the Netflix of retro gaming and make $1 zillion.
Yeah, if they were like, look, pay us $10 a month, you just get access to every Super Nintendo game, SNES game.
Imagine if they said, here's a system, here's a service, we have 100 games on it right now, 100 retro games. That would blow people's minds.
Oh, sure.
How could they not make money from that? But instead it's like...
Well, Mike, Nintendo is apparently afraid of technology. You saw...
Apparently.
Well, let's talk real quick about their Smash Brothers thing. How they're not doing cutscenes.
Well, this is stupid. Sakurai, the lead designer of the Smash Bros. Series, was like, "Yeah, we don't want to do a." And people are like, "They're not going to have a single player mode." What he's saying is, they don't want to do a story mode like Spaceship Emissary, which had a lot of CG cutscenes.
Which was my favorite part of the game, by the way.
No,
I know,
I like it, but Like, he says I wouldn't do that again because the cutscenes ended up on YouTube, and it's only good if you see it the first time. It's weird logic. I assume, AJ...
No, it wasn't... He didn't say it was good because only when you saw it the first time. His concern was Smash Brothers will come out, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, the game's out. Let's go to YouTube and watch all the cutscenes. And watch them all, and then they're playing the game and be like, these aren't that good. I saw this already.
It's really stupid, but with a lot of these Japanese quotes that sound... Because like, these Japanese quotes always sound ridiculous. I assume something has to be lost in translation. Because they just sound that idiotic, and there's no way people...
What's the possible way to make that sound
but
not
still,
stupid?
This isn't that big an issue to me as others. There won't be nice...
I just don't see why...
It's stupid.
Nintendo is terrified of YouTube. I don't get it.
Yeah,
but
they don't understand
it. I don't
know,
to me, this is like George Lucas being like, I was going to make a sequel to Star Wars, and you'd find out that Darth Vader's Luke's father, but I figured everybody would just tell everybody, so there was no point in doing it.
Why bother making it?
Right, really.
So much...
It's just upsetting, too, because I've been saying this, like... Since Mortal Kombat came out, I was like, yes, this is what I want fighting game single-player modes to do. The only other fighting game to have done that was the next game from that studio.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, why?
Yeah.
They could have made something so cool with that. And I was like, yeah, spoilers.
My big worry still is that they're going to use the whole 3DS thing as an excuse to not have very many characters.
They've already done it. He said it's going to happen.
I know, but it can't. If it's, like, noticeably bad, that's a problem. Okay, so I don't know about Nintendo. I hope it gets turned around, but it's weird because like
HD's hard, Mike.
That's the thing. It's like, oh, it's so hard to make HD games. Well, maybe you haven't like been 5 years behind.
When a team in whatever Eastern Europe, I think it was Poland, but
Metro
makes Metro in like an office without chairs.
You know, hire Metro.
Yeah.
You know, well, seriously, get some of these. I don't know. It's weird. I hope it gets turned around Christmas. I mean, it's got to be better. They can't sell this few again. I mean, when you're trailing the GameCube lifetime sales, it's not
but
good.
But just again, after Christmas, what then?
Well,
we got Mario Kart.
Well, I mean, there is a Zelda floating around
there. It's out there. But last time they said that it took 4 years.
I mean, 2014 will be largely situated around Smash Brothers. That'll be their franchise.
I will eat my hat if that does not get delayed.
It's
I mean,
gotta
they haven't announced the date yet.
It's got to be 2014. I hope not fall. It might be fall, which is a long time for Smash. Like, I hope there's still a Wii U. but I mean, I don't know, Zelda, they have, and then like all these cute 2D games like Donkey Kong and Yoshi.
I think people are getting sick of those.
Little.
Well, I mean, they're good, but they all are kind of similar to each other in a weird way, you know?
No, I know what you mean. I don't like...
I mean, everyone always went on about, oh, Nintendo's so creative and diverse and blah, 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 and now they're just making 2D platformers with all their mascots.
It's annoying because, you know, make a 3D Donkey Kong platforming game. Why not?
Yeah.
It bothers me that they never tried making a 3D Kirby game. I say that all the time. It drives me crazy that they haven't even attempted it. Or even Yoshi. Do like Yoshi's Island, but in 3D.
Yeah. I mean, be awesome.
And
who knows?
I'm not saying they ought to be 3D, but I'm a little sick of playing the same games I played on the Super Nintendo. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, I like those games and it's fun, but God.
Yeah.
Not that I'm looking forward to Link Between Worlds and all that, but... All right, so yeah, Nintendo is not a great day for them. All right, so Bioshock Infinite DLC finally got announced. I always was like, what could this possibly be to like be exciting? And it's pretty exciting.
Well, half of it is. This first bit's kind
of... Well, it's kind of... It's a challenge pack.
What is it, Clash in the Skies?
It's a challenge pack. It's like waves, whatever. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Give you something. But then the big one is this two-part thing where you go to Rapture. And it's like a very noir, and it's set like right before the downfall. And it looks pretty cool. It's like going to be like an opportunity to kind of go back to Rapture with the Bioshock Infinite mechanics, which is really neat.
My only thing is, I hope it doesn't mean like, because I bought the season pass, $20 for 3 DLC packs. I hope like the scene that came out yesterday and part 1 and 2 of that is it.
Well, what if these, I assume these two things might be pretty big.
I hope so. So that's just like, okay, you got that combat arena thing for free.
I'm definitely surprised. I was not expecting to go back to Rapture. I think it's cool. Did you, or is part of you... Would you probably preferred like a lot of people thought it would be like you play as a different character in Columbia. It's part of you like wish it was that.
No, I'm pretty good with going back to Rapture. I didn't see that coming, so I mean that's good because I feel like if it was another character in Columbia, it would feel like This is like Bioshock Infinite, but not as good.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be something relatively different.
I will say, I hope they don't get a little too overboard with the whole noir thing.
I'm fine with it. I like that stuff.
I'd rather just feel like Bioshock 1 than all this constant... I like noir, but it was a bit thick in that trailer.
Yeah.
Like...
I liked it.
And it was a bit like, yeah, blah, blah, you know, that, a lot of that talking, and the Elizabeth's remodel is kind of weird. Because that whole... The whole, like, oh, the person's sexy because they're smoking thing is always gross to me.
Well, that's just a trope of
I know, but I'm just genre. Like, but for someone who's like, oh, Elizabeth is so cute, and looking at her, she's like, oh, I'm very sultry and smoking. I'm like, ugh, it's bizarre. But, I mean, it should be pretty cool. I wonder if it'll be more... But that's the kind of thing is, like, the mechanics of Infinite have been kind of paced for those big, open environments to be much faster paced. I wonder how they slow things down a little bit. Mm. They say, especially with the Elizabeth, like, second part, things will really be slowed down.
Yeah, that's interesting that you're going to play as Elizabeth.
But here's my question. This is, like, the whole can of worms. Is this literally a prequel to Bioshock, or is this an alternate reality thing?
Who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of a pretty cool. Like, I wish it was just more like an actual prequel, and, like, maybe, like, you know, you see Atlas and all that stuff. But it should be cool. I think it was a good idea. All right. Want to talk about what we've been playing?
Yeah.
What have we been playing? Well, we did our Saints Row 3 co-op thing, which was fun.
Which is so fun.
Which is cool, because you just play the game with the two of us.
It's great. It's so goofy.
I was just telling you, I was like, oh, this is more fun I ever had playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, right?
Grand Theft Auto, by the way, is the only game anymore where it's a news story if people release screenshots for it.
Yeah.
And people really care about Grand Theft Auto.
I guess. I agree with you. That's weird.
It's like seriously, like, every time, like, there's 11 new screenshots, I'm like, who cares about screenshots anymore? And it's, like, the most popular story. Everyone's talking about, like, oh my god, you see a screenshot of a boat? I'm like, what?
It's a fucking boat.
Why are people this... I guess people really like Grand Theft Auto.
I guess.
I always knew it was popular, but I mean, Jesus, people are, like, really excited about this. Yeah. Alright, but yeah, so, it was fun. We had this, like, one funny moment where, like, someone dropped a flamethrower, and you're like, there's, like, a hallway, and you're like, Mike, just take out these people with the flamethrower.
Yeah, like, I, like, ran up the steps and ahead, because you were moving slowly with the flamethrower, and I turn a corner, and just, like, 20 guys come, like, Mike! Get up here with the flamethrower. There's a bunch of guys in a clump. You're like, okay.
And then, like, I turned the corner. I had the flamethrower. I just start shooting it at them and, like, just setting them all on fire. I just, like, kind of, like, start singing, Sweetest Victory. I love you more than life itself.
Which is great because from my point of view, I backed off to give you room to come in. So, like, I step back and, like, from around the corner of this, like, shelf that was there, I see you just come up the steps very slowly with this flamethrower and just start singing as it fires up.
As I kill, like, 20 people.
I think it might be my favorite co-op moment ever.
It was pretty funny.
It was great. But so, yeah, that's a super... I'm so ready for 4.
I can't wait. I have been having surprisingly large amounts of fun with 3. So I played, like, 10 more hours of Shin Megami Tensei 4 and, like, did nothing to progress the story at all.
It's grindy, huh?
I've been grinding, like, kind of trying to, like, figure out what to do next. It's very, like, vague stuff. The world map is really weird in the game.
Yeah.
It's, like, a lot of, like, confined, like, quarters go to one very specific place. And it's, like, on the world map, you're represented by, like, a weird, like, it's like you're looking at, like, one of those weird war, like, dioramas or something. And you have, like, that little, like, pin. You're, like, a pin on the map. It's kind of weird. I got this, Attack of the Friday Monsters, which was, like, Level 5 likes to release these little games for 3DS. It's really cute. It's, like, it's not so much a game, at least right now. It's kind of like a little, it's more of a story sort of a thing. It's, like, you're this little kid in Japan, like, in, like, the 70s, like, the era of, like, the big monster films and, like, the shows, like Ultraman and stuff, where, like, yeah, the superhero fights the heroes, and you're just, like, a fan, and they film them at your school, or in your town, and you kind of, like, just, like, go around and, like, talk to your friends, and, like, the one little game of it is, like, you can collect the monster cards, and you play this weird variant of, like, Paper, Scissors, Rock with them.
Interesting.
And if you beat the kid, then they have to, like, fall down when you tell them to. Like, real, like, innocent kid stuff. It's kind of fun. There's, like, a vague plot about something bigger, maybe, that's gonna come, but it's just kind of, like, a very peaceful, nice, quiet game. Something nice to play in between Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yes, yeah.
So it's kind of it's cute. What about you? Did you do anything else?
I fired up Metro Last Light.
Oh, how's that?
I've never played Metro 2033.
Me neither.
But man, does this game ooze atmosphere.
Really?
It's so cool. Just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, to my astonishment, my computer's able to run it on high. I could probably get a little better frame rate if I kicked it down, but it's, like, looks so good, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many great little graphical touches. Like, whenever you're on the surface, that's like a post-apocalyptic after a nuclear war sort of thing.
Yeah.
So whenever you're on the surface, you have to wear a gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
Your character has a watch that's on his left wrist, and it's positioned on the back of the wrist. Like, if he's holding a gun or whatever, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the filters for the gas mask are good for 5 minutes. So every time he puts on a gas mask, you then see him set his timer on his watch for 5 minutes, and you're watching that timer. Once it goes out, you have to manually change filters.
Kind of sounds a little annoying. But
no, it totally works.
Really?
Then it gets cool, too, because if you're, like, running and you run through a puddle and mud splashes, you have to tap a key to wipe off your mask.
That's neat.
It's, like, it just has, like, a great sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
The acting's phenomenal. I mean, it's all Russian accents.
Right, of course.
But they're good Russian accents.
Fair enough.
But, like, a lot of people compare it to, like, the atmosphere that Half-Life 2 presented. Mm-hmm. It's a little more combat heavy than that, but I could see that.
Right.
It's really cool.
That's cool. Trying to think, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot more Firefall, which I still recommend everyone check out because it's awesome.
Do you want to talk about our community a little bit?
Yeah, what are they up to?
Well, Danny, or Dammy, Anna Falken.
Yes.
Is that how we say it? He's asking if he's the only person who's excited about Star Citizen. Super Citizen said he's also interested. How about you?
Well, I wasn't at the time of the Kickstarter because I didn't have a gaming PC. Now that I do, I am.
This is like the spiritual successor to a space comp.
Yeah, like this guy worked on Wing Commander.
Yeah, that never been my. This has never been my genre.
I like these.
This has never been. I never got into like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and all that stuff that everyone loved. This has not been my thing.
I've always enjoyed those games. So yes, I am looking forward to it. I need to look into it more because, as Stuart Simpson says, it does have pretty high system requirements.
Mm-hmm.
I think I meet them. I have to double check. It's going to be like a quasi-MMO.
Right.
But it should be pretty good. It's going to be like, it sounds to me like it's going to be Eve, but you don't play it with spreadsheets.
Fair enough. And then Jay Loretta was just talking about a little bit of our Double Fine talk from a bit ago. We were talking about the Kickstarter and some of our frustrations. Apparently he
could have fixed all.
Apparently
of this.
He wanted to apply for like a job to kind of be in charge of like their money at one point and didn't do it because he didn't want to move his family.
Fair enough.
But he could have saved us from all this. Although it's like weird. It's like save us because then you know, we are getting a right. Tim Schafer adventure game. I guess
I forget what it was. There was some Kickstarter where they said like we're not doing stretch goals. We decided this is the game we're going to make.
I feel like that might be a good idea.
I mean, just because you raise more money than you ask for, so what? I mean, most people see this as pre-orders anyway.
Yeah, you know, the stretch goals thing is kind of... I think that might be a problem.
For a lot of Kickstarter games.
All right. That sounds good, the releases, huh?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Take on Mars.
All right. I won't do that.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, sir, you were being hunted.
What is that?
I always hear about it. I really don't know.
Your task of surviving on an island that is procedurally generated, dodging robot hunters. Oh, yeah. Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate HD.
Yeah.
Skull of Shogun came out for Steam.
Yep. Yeah. I like that game.
I never played it because it came out the same time as Fire Emblem.
Yeah, oh, well, and apparently it's another one of those like horror stories of being an indie exclusive for Microsoft.
Oh, really?
As soon as they could get out of it, they self-published on Steam.
All right, then. All right, that's it, then. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Explain Bro podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us at Twitter and on Facebook, and go to our Google Plus community and go ahead and join the conversation or start one. We'll always bring it back here on the show. Go to the iTunes Music Store, leave us a review. Did anybody leave a review after you cried about it?
I actually didn't look.
Well, we'll check that. I mean, we look all the time. We'll check that soon. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye. We'll